It was given to the attorneys this morning. It's a notice of voluntary disclosure from myself, Mark Gibbons, Chief Justice of the Nevada Supreme Court. The disclosure is that my wife Sandra and her two brothers inherited a 50% interest in a 1 acre of unimproved residential property in Pahrump, Nye County, Nevada. The total parcel was valued at $10,000 in probate proceedings. The parcel may be impacted by a Supreme Court's decision in this case. I have no bias in favor of or against any of the parties to this litigation. However, if any party wishes that I recuse from further participation in this case, you may file a request that I do so with the Supreme Court clerk within the next 10 calendar days from today's date, November 5, 2019. And again, for the record, this parcel, I talked to my wife last night because I was a little unclear on the exact ownership. Apparently, her mother and her aunt own this 1 acre property. It's on a residential street in Pahrump. It's next to current houses. And so when her mother passed away, she left her 50% interest to her three children, which includes my wife and her two brothers. And when it was in probate, I checked with the probate, and it was valued at $10,000 for the total parcel. So that's the information, and I'll just defer to the parties here from this point forward. With that being said, we'll go ahead and call the case. It's case number 77722, Tim Wilson, Nevada State Engineer, Appellant versus Pahrump Fairwater, LLC, et al. Respondent. Again, the attorneys here, we have, excuse me for a second, we have Mr. Bulletin representing the appellant, Mr. Taggart representing the respondents. Mr. Bulletin, would you like to reserve any time in rebuttal? Okay, you may approach and proceed. How many minutes would you like to reserve?
5 minutes.
5 minutes, okay. So you'll hear a beep at the 5 minutes to give you notice that you got to that stage. Then. Okay, you may proceed then.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. My name is James Bulletin, Senior Deputy Attorney General from the Nevada Attorney General's Office, appearing today on behalf of the Nevada State Engineer and the Division of Water Resources. Simply put, in the Pahrump Valley Hydrographic Basin, there is currently three times as much water committed as there is water available in the basin. That's not even counting existing domestic wells in the basin. Thus, in terms of managing the basin, the state engineer finds himself in a deep hole, and the only way to get out of that hole is to stop digging. That is why I'm here today to ask you to overturn the district court's decision and affirm the state engineer's amended order 1293A, as it is supported by substantial evidence in the state engineer's record on appeal, and the state engineer was statutorily authorized to issue this order. The Pahrump Valley Basin is in a state of crisis and has been for some time. Water levels on the valley floor are declining despite decades of effort from the state engineer's office to try and remedy the situation. And with this decline, there's threats to existing domestic wells and those households that depend on them, as well as those interests in existing permitted and certificated water rights in the basin.
Has the basin been designated as a critical management area?
Not yet, Your Honor, but it's a possibility if the district court's decision stands in this case. All tools will have to be on the table, but at this point, it has not been designated as a critical
management area. But it is a designated basin since 1941.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Evidence in the record shows that over 400 wells will fail in the next 16 years, and over 3,000 wells, many of which are existing domestic wells, are predicted to fail in the next 50 years. Again, this is just based on the current level of water level declines in the basin. Additionally, there are documented current impacts to springs and land subsidence. Furthermore, historic pumping rates and data maintained by the state engineer illustrate the detrimental impacts of increased stress on the resource above current levels, as it used to be significantly overpumped. Based on these problematic conditions, and with the state engineer having already designated the basin for administration and severely limiting every other type of appropriation in Pahrump, the Nye County Water District provided information and advice to the state engineer pursuant to NRS 534.030 sub 5 and requested that the state engineer issue an order prohibiting the drilling of new domestic wells in the Pahrump Basin without relinquishment of 2.0 acre feet of existing water rights in good standing. Per the Nye County Water District's requests and accompanying evidence, along with the records and evidence maintained at the state engineer's office, the state engineer issued amended order number 1293A, using his discretion to do so under NRS 534.110 sub 8 and NRS 534.120 sub 1. Again, as we stand here today, water levels are dropping on the valley floor of the Pahrump Basin. with thousands of well failures forecasted. The state engineer has already limited essentially every other type of withdrawal. Therefore, per NRS 534-110-8, the state engineer determined that additional domestic wells would increase the drawdown and therefore increase the harm and interference to existing wells. In other words, these new wells would essentially be pumping other people's water. Additionally, based on this depletion of the designated groundwater basin, the state engineer determined that this type of order, as specifically requested by the Nye County Water District, was essential for the welfare of Pahrump per NRS 534-120-1. Again, this was all done to protect existing wells, domestic and otherwise. Those who had submitted notices of intent to drill or had applied for building permits prior to the issuance of the original order also received exemptions from this order. In addition to protecting existing rights and domestic wells in Pahrump from direct interference caused by new strains on the resource, the state engineer's order is also designed to hopefully avoid having to curtail existing rights by priority. Considering that domestic wells have a priority date of the date that they are completed under NRS 534-080-4, the new domestic wells would be junior in priority and would be the first ones to have their withdrawals restricted in a curtailment. While respondents at various points in this litigation have challenged the state engineer's authority to regulate domestic wells, under NRS 534-110-6 and 110-7, the state engineer has clear authority to limit withdrawals from existing domestic wells in certain circumstances. And under NRS 534-110-8 and NRS 534-120-1, the state engineer has the power and discretion to take steps necessary to protect existing wells and rights, as well as remedying depleting water levels, which in Pahrump requires limiting the drilling of new domestic wells, as he did in this order. In fact, just this year, the Nevada legislature further illustrated its clear intent that existing domestic wells are subject to curtailment by passing Assembly Bill 95, which adds NRS 534-110-9. This change makes it clear that existing domestic wells are subject to curtailment, but prevents full curtailment of existing domestic wells by allowing these existing wells that are junior in priority to continue to withdraw half an acre foot of water during times of curtailment, as opposed to 0 acre feet, which would have been the case prior to the statutory change.
But doesn't that kind of argue against your position that your opponents on the other side don't have some sort of right that was impacted that entitled them to notice in a hearing? I mean, I understand the statute was passed after the order was entered, but conceptually it seems like they're saying domestic well owners get 0.5 AFA no matter what.
And that's true. Domestic well owners do get half an acre foot no matter what. But in this case, we're only limiting future speculative, undrilled domestic wells in this case. So
if you haven't drilled it, you can't get to that 0.5 AFA.
Exactly. And I actually think that, number one, AB 95 affirms the state engineer's ability to curtail existing domestic wells. And since the state engineer can no longer curtail existing domestic wells all the way down to 0 acre feet, it is even more imperative that no additional domestic wells be drilled in Pahrump without relinquishment of water rights and good standing. Because if the district court's decision is allowed to stand in light of AB 95, we'll face a situation where during curtailment, junior permitted water users will be completely cut off from the aquifer, while brand new domestic wells will be able to access half an acre foot from the aquifer in perpetuity without restriction. Existing rights and existing domestic wells and those people dependent on them will suffer a manifest injustice by virtue of these new domestic wells and their previously unaccounted for draw on the resource, which will accelerate water level declines and their corresponding well failures.
Was that conundrum considered by the legislature in 2019 when it passed AB 95? Is that contained in the legislative history?
From what I saw in the legislative history, and I watched all those hearings, Your Honor, it seemed AB 95 was directly passed as a public welfare statute mm-hmm. to ensure that these people have been living off these domestic wells, have a source of water in times of curtailment. And to the extent other issues were brought about domestic wells in legislative history, the legislature was aware that this case was pending, actually, and they didn't want to go down the road of doing anything else. And if you look in the legislative history, there's actually history of certain senators saying, I don't want to touch domestic wells because that case is at the Supreme Court. But I know that it was passed as a public welfare statute, and that was clear from the chairperson who brought the legislation.
Thank you. I was going to ask, For somebody who owns property in Pahrump but doesn't yet have a drilled well, so subject to this order, you know, I can understand them obviously being upset to have this order come out without there being any publicly noticed hearing, opportunity to come and present testimony and to present their point of view. Isn't that something the state engineer should do before they fundamentally affect their property?
Well, in this case, that expectation has not yet vested. So the state engineer's position is that there isn't a property right that's being deprived. It's just a mere expectation of that because domestic wells were given away easily in the past, this is a new situation and water levels are dropping. And it's just that expectation did not vest due process rights. Also, to the extent that they argue there was no due process in this case, the statute that the state engineer depended on specifically provides for this petition for judicial review process, and also the letter that spurred the state engineer's decision was sent by the Nye County Water District, presumably from a public hearing that they held themselves. So I don't think there was no notice, but I don't think in this case that there was anything more than an expectation requiring due process protections.
In terms of this land for retirement, they live in Las Vegas, they're working hard, they buy land for retirement, and they've sat on the land for a couple of years without any hearing. It's dramatically changed now without a hearing. They had no interest in that property, even if they bought that with hopes of retiring and living in Pahrump.
They obviously have value in that property, but just because the value has changed or there's new regulations, they can still go out and get a water right, relinquish it to the state, and still use that property. There's just a couple extra hoops to jump through because other people who have been living in Pahrump and living off that water are currently at risk of their wells failing and them having to spend the extra money to drill new wells or deepen the wells that they currently have.
Yes.
Out
of curiosity, what would 2 acre feet of water, what's the value of that? What would that cost someone to go out and find 2 acre feet of water and then relinquish it?
It's really up to the market, Your Honor, and every water right has an inherent value based on its scarcity and its priority right.
Just generally in Pahrump in that basin.
I'm not sure, Your Honor, and I'm not sure it's in the record, and it really depends on what people want.
Curious.
Want to sell it for, and obviously they can't, given other cases that this court has decided and other doctrines, can't really speculate to sell to the highest bidder, but they do have an inherent value related to their priority and scarcity.
I have another larger question, and I'm sorry I'm eating into your time here, but you're predicating the state engineer's authority on 534.110.8 and 534.120. And the subparagraph 8 in 110 is more specific to wells. The 120 is a general, the state engineer in his administrative capacity can do this in a determined, in a basin that's been determined. But my question is, should we read 110 to require you proceed that way under 110 only and not under 120 since it's specific to wells? And it carries a provision for judicial review under 533.450. If you're acting under 120, I'm not sure how you even get to judicial review. The engineer's almost making rules, and he's not subject to the APA, and I'm not sure that it's a determined right that 533.450 would apply to. I know that's a long statement by me, but could you comment on that?
So I think it was the state engineer based it on a combination of the statutes because the water levels are being depleted and he has this issue with interference with existing wells. And while NRS 534.110 sub 8 clearly has the judicial review section of the statute, I think we'd be hard-pressed to argue that if we just use 534.120 sub 1 and a party with proper standing who feels aggrieved by that order, I feel like we'd be hard-pressed to get that case kicked out because it doesn't have...
Okay, given that concession, then why should there not have been notice in a hearing, in a public hearing where people could come and press their point of view on you that, I mean, they're saying that the basin is replenishing in certain areas. You have an answer to that, and you know, as far as the aquifer and how it's being managed. But people were caught off guard by the lack of a hearing. And if you concede that you'd be hard-pressed to avoid judicial review, then would you not need to have had notice and a hearing?
I think that goes back to Justice Kadish's question that this expectation didn't rise to the level of a property right that's being deprived. And this, because the NRS 533-450 statute applies specifically to 110-8, it'd be the same kind of due process that you'd get under 120-1, and under the Howell v. Ritchie decision, a simple letter from the state engineer gained judicial review. So I think that that due process, to the extent it's required, it would be provided for judicial review.
But if you're under 8 only, or in tandem, you need a specific finding that additional wells would cause undue interference with existing wells, which is a pretty specific kind of finding. And it contemplates judicial review under 450, and that's determined rights. It seems to me that the people, I come back again to how do you deal with the lack of notice and a hearing. I understand there's not a due process vested property right, awkward though that is in people's concepts and expectations. But it seems like this is contemplating a finding that a new well is going to affect an existing well, and that's pretty specific.
Well, that is specific, but the judicial review statute is pretty broad to any order or decision, and well, there's a question of determinative rights. That case that settled that Howell v. Ritchie was just a simple letter, and I think no matter what, to a certain extent, the state engineer is brought into court, and I've been on these cases many times where it's been as simple as a letter that's brought us into court. And that, while it's specifically provided for in 110-8, it's inherently provided as an order from the state engineer that can be challenged under NRS 533-450.
But the difference is that under judicial review, generally speaking, we're supposed to look at the record that was made in front of the state engineer. And in this instance, the record is solely what was tabulated in 1239, in the order 1239A, right?
Correct.
What troubles me is then we get into petitions for judicial review in district court, reviewing state engineer decisions, and then those who are challengers want to augment the record with a whole bunch of stuff that oftentimes the state engineer didn't consider. In this instance, we have the opposite of that situation where the state engineer just enters an order and we don't have the benefit of that information being provided to the state engineer that formulates the record that becomes the basis for judicial review. This seems a little bit out of sequence. Under 120, 534-121, the statute allows the state engineer to effectuate rules, regulations, and orders. In this instance, we're dealing with an order. And if I understand your argument, it's grounded in the specifics of 110-8. To Justice Pickering's point, focused on the impact of existing wells. Is that the case?
I think that's the case, Your Honor.
Okay. So, what would you argue in the record supports the finding, because it doesn't seem like that specific finding is set out?
I think it's in the Klinke report, Your Honor, which is in the record at pages 1385 to 1435, and again in the Water Resources Update, 1437 to 1652. There's maps from the study that was commissioned by the Nye County Water District that shows in each square, just based on current levels, the wells that are going to fail. The state engineer also, in the record, put in his past orders and pumping inventories that showed the problems when there was an increased pumping, when Pahrump was mostly an irrigation type of economy. Mm-hmm. And put with those two together, based on the fact that numerous existing wells are going to fail in the next 15, 50 years, plus his data that he has at his office showing the effects of pumping back in the day showed that any increase on the system above what we're seeing today will only cause a further interference and speed up those water level declines.
Okay, thank you.
And with that, I'm not
sure. Well, obviously, we used up all your time, so we'll give you 3 minutes in rebuttal. We'll add 3 minutes to Mr. Taggart's time as well. Mr. Taggart.
Good morning, Chief Justice, Associate Justices, and may it please the Court. My name is Paul Taggart. I represent the Prompt Fair Water Group, and we're challenging order, the state engineer's order. I'm going to cover 3 points. These are that the state engineer lacked, 1, authority, 2, notice and hearing, and 3, substantial evidence. I'm going to try to answer a few questions that came up. If you look in the record at Joint Appendix 4548, you'll find a transcript from a hearing that we held in the predecessor to Order 1293A, which is 1293, and there was testimony about the value of water at that time, and the testimony was that the value of water was $2,500 an acre foot at the time the order was issued, and then it went up to $7,500 to $10,000 an acre foot at the time of the hearing, which was in May of 2018. The history of Nevada water law is that we have exempt wells. Domestic wells are exempt from the statutes. In 1939, the groundwater law brought groundwater under the state engineer's authority, but exempted domestic wells, and was very clear about that in two ways, and in two provisions that are in the law today, both in 534.180 sub 1 and in 534.030. The exemptions that were put into the law in 1939 continue to be in the law today. And in Nevada, if you own a parcel, you have a right to drill a domestic well. That's the God-given right that most domestic well or most parcel owners believe they have. And in 1999, State Engineer Turnipseed told the legislature that very thing, that he did not have jurisdiction. The state engineer is not authorized to deny a person his right to drill a domestic well. And the legislature
is in paragraph 2 of 534.180, which says the state engineer may designate any groundwater basin in which the registration of a well was required if the well is drilled for domestic purposes.
So the landscape is that there's a water law that covers the groundwater with domestic wells exempt. And we want to point out that there's these two primary exemptions. If you want to override those exemptions, you need a statute. You need a statutory power to the state engineer to override those general exemptions. One override is the requirement of a register. So the state engineer can require all domestic well owners to register their wells with the state engineer's office, and that, I think that's the provision you're referring to.
And then you have 110 sub 8, which says in any basin or portion thereof that's a designated basin, the state may restrict the drilling of wells, any wells. It doesn't say industrial wells, it says wells, which presumably includes domestic wells.
But if you look at 534.030, which is the provision that authorizes the state engineer to designate a basin in the first place, so that's the statute that says when the state engineer believes a basin is in need of additional administration, he may designate a basin. That statute is the primary statute for when designation of a basin can occur, and that statute exempts domestic wells from any designated basin determination. The later powers that are being discussed that are espoused by the state engineer, 110 sub 8, 120 sub 1, those two powers are subordinate, if you will, to the overall organic power for the state engineer to administer or to designate a basin. So in our view, 030 is far more specific and is the penumbra over all designated basins, exempting domestic wells from those basins.
But Mr. Taggart, that argument would seem to preclude the state engineer from being able to block any future well drilling. In fact, it seems to me that interpretation renders 534.110.8 absurd, useless.
No, 110 sub 8 covers
so give
all
me
the
hypothetical in which the state engineer could act under 534.110.8 in view of your interpretation of 030. What will be the hypothetical in
all
which
other
that
wells,
statute would come into play?
All other wells that exist that he governs, all of the water rights that have been granted by the state engineer in the state of Nevada that he governs, he has the right to restrict the drilling of those wells. He also has the right under law to control the construction of the domestic well. That's another overriding statute that's been provided. But there's no overriding statute that says that he can cut off the domestic well. In 2007, Assemblyman Goguchia asked Jason King, the deputy state engineer at the time, isn't it true that there's these scattered parcels all across the state, and on those parcels, people have a right to drill a domestic well? Deputy state engineer said, yes, that's true. And then the legislature adopted 120 sub C3, which is a very important statute to look at. So 120 sub 3E, the legislature gave the authority to require relinquishment, exactly what he did here, on only new parcels. The legislature had in front of it in 2007 when Goguchia asked the deputy state engineer that question. The legislature adopted a statute that gave the state engineer the power to require the relinquishment of a water right, but only when a new parcel is created. So if the state engineer believes he has this power, why didn't he ask the legislature for it then? The legislature knew what it was doing. The legislature protects domestic wells from the state engineer and has since the beginning of our state.
Council, this order doesn't affect people who have domestic wells and thus have the right to them. This is preventing the drilling of new wells. And if you haven't drilled a well yet, you don't have a water right.
No, you have a right to drill a domestic well when you have a parcel.
Based on what?
Based on the principle that vested rights occur when governmental discretion is no longer present. So as soon as a parcel is created, there's no further discretion on the state engineer's part to limit the drilling of a domestic well or on the part of a governmental entity to restrict that. Once that parcel is created, that piece of vested property exists and that right to drill exists.
I thought all water was publicly owned in the state of Nevada by statute, and anyone who goes to drill a well is subject to pre-existing priority water rights. Is that not true?
That's largely true, yes. But I would say with respect to domestic wells, it's not completely true. And I've told for years, domestic wells are the wild card in Nevada water law. They don't have to comply with the same rules as everyone else. The legislature recently said that a domestic well, its priority date is the date of completion.
Right.
It did not, before they said that, and I think there's still people who don't believe that that's even constitutional. I think your BOSTA case maybe indicates that it probably is. But the point is that up until that time, we didn't even know what the priority date was of a domestic well. So my answer to your question about is prior appropriation a governing structure for domestic wells is generally yes, but domestic wells should be considered an exception in part to the priority rule. The statutes tell us that in a curtailment, they are subject to curtailment based upon priority. But we now have a statute that says that 0.5 acre feet of pumping cannot be curtailed from a domestic well, regardless of the priority date. And you know, the state engineer may not like this result, but the legislature does. And the result is that if you own a domestic well in the state of Nevada, you have a right to put in a well. And
well, you just said two different things. Owning a domestic well, which has already been sunk, is different than one that has not yet been drilled.
Okay, well, what I'm saying is if you own a parcel, you have the right to drill. And for that, we cite to America West and to the vested, the non-discretionary act function of vested property rights. And even if you put that well in today, the result is that you still get 0.5 acre feet to pump. And again, the state engineer may not like that, but that's the way. We have 50,000 domestic wells in the state of Nevada. We have 175,000 people, according to the MIKI, who live off domestic wells. It's been a tradition in Nevada that if you own a parcel in the rural area of the state, you can put in a domestic well. And we're talking about small amounts of water. Half an acre foot is not usually going to cause a problem. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the record below because you heard a parade of horribles, and I'm going to say.
Could you address 534.120 and its impact on its face? It would seem to support what the state engineer ordered. In an area that's been designated by the state engineer, this basin is a designated basin, correct?
Yes, but that's the point. You don't even need to go further than that. Within an area that has been designated. So that means we're only talking about areas that have been designated. Then go back to 534.030, which is
the
provision
that... Let's stay with 534.121 for a moment before we return to 030. where in the judgment of the state engineer the groundwater basin is being depleted. We have that. The state engineer, in his or her administrative capacity, may make such rules, regulations, and orders as are deemed essential for the welfare of the area involved. The state engineer clearly invokes this provision to support his order in this case. And read literally, subparagraph 1 seems to support his argument. If you were in our position and writing that the state engineer is incorrect in that argument, how would you parse that statute?
Well, first I would quibble with the question of whether there's been a finding of depletion. And I'll get to that in a minute.
Okay,
with respect
fair
to the
enough.
Record below. But I would go to the primary exemption. And I would go to 534.080 sub 1, and I would go to 534.030. You cannot square those two statements together. You
have so a general, does 534.120 just not apply to domestic wells, and it true. Just fails to say that as your position?
It applies to domestic wells to the extent the state engineer has those overriding powers that the legislature
right.
has provided to him, which do not exist in this case. The legislature did not provide him with the power to require relinquishment of a water right for an existing parcel. They gave him that power for a new parcel, but not an existing parcel. And so he can implement the 120 sub 1 rules if he's exercising one of those overriding powers. Now, whether there's been impairment or not, how do we know what's happened here? We have every time you give deference to the state engineer for fact determinations, you presume that there was a full and fair hearing below and a full and fair opportunity. I know these cases because I've been on the wrong side of many of them. Great Basin Water Network, that was not a vested water right holder who came to you asking for the right to file a late protest, or it was a late coming party who there was a long time that went by in the consideration of those applications. You gave them the opportunity because they should have the opportunity to be heard. Then we had the General Molly case, the KBR, Eureka County versus State Engineer, and in that case you said that the Echeverries, the protestants, had a right to see all the evidence before the state engineer made a decision. And then in the most recent case, in the Diamond Valley curtailment case, you said that notice was necessary to all individuals who had water rights, including domestic well owners, not necessarily parcel owners only, but domestic well owners. You said all of those people need notice before you can proceed with any action that would affect their rights. So clearly, those activities, why do we do that? So that we can understand whether the record's fair. You have one side of the story right now. The state engineer chose what to put into the record on appeal, and when we went to offer additional information, that was opposed. So we think that the other question you should ask is, if there's a 20,000 acre foot perennial yield in this basin, why is there 60,000 acre feet of permits issued by the state engineer in that basin? Why is there a three time over, now it's a paper problem. I mean, you asked about the CMA, Justice Pickering. Critical management area requires pumping to exceed perennial yield. That's not occurring in Pahrump. The state engineer's record shows 17,000 acre feet on average of pumping 20,000 acre feet of perennial yield. I don't think it qualifies for a CMA designation. What we have is a paper problem.
And if it did, would you concede that they, in that instance, could proceed to forbid the drilling of domestic wells?
No, but I think they could curtail the use of water from a domestic well to 0.5 acre feet. I think that's the extent of the power that they have in a curtailment in a CMA type area. So in Diamond Valley, where they've done a critical management area designation. So
are there basins in Nevada that are not designated at all at this point in our history?
I think there are some. I think predominantly, I mean, the basins we're all familiar with where there's population and such have been designated, but there are some that have not. So the point, my point is that you should not, you know, if I can describe what's actually happening here is the state engineer requires a parcel owner to go buy 2 acre feet from one of those over-appropriated permits. So there's 60,000 acre feet of permits, 40,000 acre feet of permits above the perennial yield. He wants all those parcel owners to go out and buy 2 acre feet from someone.
That's the zero-sum game that he's working with.
Well, why doesn't
it makes sense.
Why doesn't he cut back those permits? Why does he force the folks who own parcels to go out and buy permits to balance the problem instead of him exercising the statutory powers that he clearly has over those particular water rights. So, I mean, his office issued the 60,000 acre feet of permits, not these parcel owners. So
he has to allow thousands more people to keep drilling their wells and taking more water out of the basin?
Well, I think it's just the shock factor of it shouldn't be believed. I mean, as we all know, in construction, you're not going to have thousands of additional parcels tomorrow. It just doesn't work that way. Construction doesn't happen that quickly. But should you allow individuals who own a parcel to be able to use that parcel? Yes. And should they get what they thought they got when they bought it and when the parcel was created? Yes. And what they got when they bought that parcel or when they had that parcel divided, they got the right to drill a domestic well. That's the only reason they bought it.
Where is this right to drill a domestic well? Is there some constitutional provision or some statute that provides that?
Well, think of the bundle of sticks that comes with a piece of property when you own it. Airspace is you don't have to build in the airspace to have a right.
But NRS 534.020 says all water belongs to the public and is subject to prior appropriation.
But in the same set of statutes in 1939, when that statement was made, they exempted domestic wells from that very statement. So while the groundwater is the waters of the public, domestic well owners were exempted from getting a permit from the state engineer. They always have been. So if they don't need to get a permit from the state engineer, then how can the state engineer tell them that they have to? How can he condition their ability to receive a permit if he doesn't have the power? I mean, you have to get over the problem of the general exemption that he cannot. The word is permit. He cannot require a permit for a domestic well.
We have to credit your reading of 110 sub 8, which seems to me to nullify a significant part of the wording in that statute.
I don't think so, and we can't do that. We can't render any of those words meaningless, but I think that's...
Well, the word wells with no modifier, there's no adjective on wells, it's any well.
Well, first of all, most of the wells in Nevada are the ones the state engineer regulates.
Right. That's
what we're talking about there. I don't think there's any dispute. That's the meaning of the word wells. All the state engineers who testified in front of the state engineer indicated, I don't have jurisdiction over domestic wells. So I don't see a problem with reading that to mean the wells that the state engineer regulates, and not having to read it to include domestic wells, particularly I don't know how you square the exemptions, the general exemption, the specific exemption of domestic wells from the state engineer's powers, and also read it the way the state engineer wants you to read it.
Your position would be that domestic wells is a term of art, and the omission of the word domestic impacts that interpretation.
Well, yes, and that when the legislature wants to give the state engineer a power over domestic wells, he uses the term domestic wells, mm-hmm. or the legislature uses the term domestic wells. You would see that word mm-hmm. in that statute if that was the intent of the legislature.
But even in subparagraph 7B, immediately before subparagraph 8, they make a specific reference to domestic wells, and then in 8 just refer to wells liberated from the adjective domestic. It's hard for a reader to say they just forgot to put in domestic and excluding domestic from that.
No, they intentionally did not include it. I mean, anytime the legislature is engaged in discussions about whether to add restrictions on domestic wells, there are buses in front of the legislature of domestic well owners concerned about that activity. So when the legislature intends to limit what powers exist for domestic wells, they use that term, or they use the protectable interest language.
And when they refer to other than domestic wells, your point is they just call it wells. They
yes.
don't say industrial wells or agricultural wells or any other kind.
Yes.
So wells just means wells, but not domestic wells. That's
right.
your argument?
Right.
Okay.
And particularly when at the beginning of the chapter it said nothing in this chapter shall apply to domestic wells.
Okay. Got it.
And if I may, in closing, we would like to ask you, with all due respect, to as quickly as possible rule on this matter. We are on expedited briefing, and there are people who are waiting to build their homes. We would like you, we would urge you to rule on the statutory authority question, not just the notice question, because if you just rule on the notice question, we may end up here again, and we'd like to get that answer in this time that we're here now. Thank you.
Thank you. Council?
Thank you, Your Honors. Just briefly on the NRS 534-110 sub 8 question that all of you justices were hitting on. The state engineer has already limited basically every other type of well in the basin, and he's determined that new wells, the only ones that are still left are domestic wells, and they're going to cause interference with existing wells. And that's why now this order focuses just on domestic wells, because he's limited all the other types of appropriations with certain limited exceptions for drought relief and things like that.
To the statutory interpretation issue, what say you to the discussion we were just having with Mr. Taggart about the distinction between domestic wells and that term versus just wells? What's your assessment of the difference? Is there a difference?
Our assessment is there isn't a difference. That statute, NRS 534-1108, predates legislative history, and it gives the state engineer the power to determine when a well is a well is a well that's going to interfere with these other wells. And in this case, it's new domestic wells that are likely to interfere with existing domestic wells. And all this discussion about a right to drill a new domestic well, we leave out the fact of the people who have existing domestic wells that are currently threatened and will be further threatened by new drilling and new poles on the system.
So I guess your argument would be that if we don't interpret the provisions of 110.8 expansively to include all wells, then domestic wells that may threaten other domestic wells, there'd be no remedy for resolving that threat.
Exactly, Your Honor. Respondents basically request the state engineer's hands be tied in a situation like that. Even where he knows that additional domestic wells will cause interference with existing wells, and a prohibition on new domestic wells is essential to fixing that problem, he would have no power to address that situation or protect the undoubtedly protectable interests in existing domestic wells. And again, just to conclude, Your Honors, the people in Pahrump with existing domestic wells or with municipal water served via existing rights depend on that water and have the expectation that that water will be available for their needs. These existing rights need to be protected and should be protected against potential new domestic wells by virtue of their prior appropriation. The state engineer has to retain some authority to manage problematic basins like Pahrump. Thus, the state engineer acted within his proper statutory authority to issue amended order number 1293A in order to prevent new domestic wells that would essentially now have a super priority at the expense of existing wells and rights. Substantial evidence supports this order, and therefore, again, the state engineer respectfully requests this court overturn the district's court's order and affirm amended order number 1293A.
Chief, could I ask an additional question?
Of course.
So I have been reviewing the findings of fact again, and you mentioned a couple of reports that formed the basis for substantial evidence for the determination that's made here, but I don't see them referenced specifically in the manner in which you outlined during argument. Was it Klinke report, for example? Could you help me out there? Where is that in the findings?
I don't have the exact record site in the Klinke report, but there's maps in there where it shows.
No, I'm talking about the state engineer's findings. Mr. Taggart here, I bet, would like to cross-examine the underlying testimony and record if he had the chance. And so it's a little bit unclear to me what portions of the record the state engineer made its findings on.
Well,
outside of the water plan from
Nye County.
He based it on specifically those threats to existing wells that were focused on in the Nye County report. And again, this was specifically requested by the Nye County Water District through their own public process. Mm-hmm. And then along with his pumping data from when Pahrump used to be significantly overpumped, when it used to be an irrigation-based economy, and I think they had giant cotton fields, and that's what a lot of the overcommitments that Mr. Taggart talked about used to be irrigation. They've since been transferred to municipal use, and basically the combination of the forecast under current pumping in addition to his data and historical documents took together to mean that an increase in pumping can only further depletion and increase the damage to existing wells. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much, both parties here. Before we take the consent of submission, just to supplement my disclosure I made at the beginning of the case, my understanding, there is no well drilled on this particular property that I referenced at the beginning of the case. So with that being said, we'll take the matter under